The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, we have a special treat for you on the Pat Kenny Show now. Ivan filling in for Pat. In my hot little hand is a book called Guinness, A Family Succession, the true story of the struggle to create the world's largest brewery. And I'm delighted to welcome the author, who is the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the original Arthur Guinness, who took over St. James's Gate from very dubious sort of background in terms of it wasn't a global brand at that stage in St. James's Gate in 1759. You're most welcome, Lord Ivy. Tell me, first of all, what inspired you to write the book?
Well, my great-grandfather, Rupert, commissioned a book which was privately published, which was to inform the future generations of the family of the time, the foundations of my family. So I just updated it.
Okay. And bring us through the original of the species. So he was in, like, Uterard is a kind of place in Galway, but there's an Uterard in Kildare. Just tell us about, just before 1759, what he was at.
Well, he was the Arthur who founded the brewery St. James's Gate. He was a young man. He was named after Bishop Arthur Price. And indeed, he was given £100, the bishop's legacy, him and his father, Richard, who worked for the bishop. And then he set up in Kildare first on High Street. Did some brewing, did some pub front of house as well, and he decided to take on the lease of a derelict brewery at St. James's Gate. 1759 was the year.
Now, I'm a big consumer of the draft product and I like it a lot, but it was brewing ale. And just explain the difference between ale and porter. Is it the way they roast the barley or the hops or what?
A little bit more roasting on the barley. It was a benefit when hops were introduced because it can extend the life of the drink in terms of shelf life, that is. And it was really that porter was originally popular in London and England.
And a little cheaper, was it?
Well, that depended on the tariffs. And the English were often mean because they put up tariffs on the Irish brewers. But Arthur discovered that he could brew very well the stout, and it took him a few years to realise this. So it wasn't until a few decades after he'd established St. James's Gate that Guinness has actually started brewing Guinness as we know it, the dark amber.
And was it an instant success?
Well, I think it was certainly a success enough to sustain and grow and build. There was always reinvestment. There was always the challenges of the marketplace. People were poor, people were taxed, people were, they were safe if they were drinking beer in those days because the water was very often unsafe. And, so he discovered that Dubliners had a taste for it, and he convinced the publicans, many, many of whom were brewing their own as well as serving front of house.
Now, they say in terms of family business, the first one makes it, the second one holds it, and the third one sells it. Bring us through the second and third generation. Was there always a kind of unity to keep it in the family name? But the book seems to indicate that there was a fair amount of sibling rivalry.
Well, we had big families. We're a good Irish family at breeding children. And so there were often many children. Many of them didn't go into the brewing. The religion was one, and goldsmithing and all sorts of different diverse distractions that took our fancy. But there was always one or two of acumen who took it through to the next generation, luckily enough.
So bring us through the, because you look at four generations in some detail, covering the period up to about,
it's 1927 when Great
Independence sort of around.
Well, yes, after independence indeed. And great-great-grandfather Edward Cecil, he was extraordinary because he floated the business in the 1880s. And he did not want advertising, and it was only Rupert, his son, and siblings and family who introduced the advertising in, I think it was 1928 or 1929.
Now, I digress slightly because I want to talk about the Ivy Gardens and the links with the Guinness family, because it's being, I'm aware from different NGOs and people, there's been a long campaign to bring it back to its former glory. Tell us about the history of the Ivy Gardens.
Well, the gardens are magnificent, just at the back of St Stephen's Green, and indeed Ivy House, and indeed St Stephen's Green itself, all with family connections. But the markets is a very exciting. The Ivy Markets is in the heart of the Liberties, in the heart of Dublin, and Dublin City Corporation have put together the funds now to sign a contract with a builder, and the roof is going back on, and it's once again yet to serve the people of Dublin for social purposes. So it'll be a magnificent, magnificent...
And when will it be refurbished and done and available?
Please God, within 2 years. Within 2 years, first stage, and then we'll have to have the public consultation to decide what happens next.
The other thing I found fascinating, did you grow up in what is now the state residence in Farmlea?
I did. I was privileged enough to be there. Dublin 15, wonderful childhood.
Tell me about it.
Well,
and tell me about the history, how it came into the Guinness family.
So Edward Cecil, this great-great-grandfather and his wife Adelaide, they bought the place. It was their Dublin country property, funnily enough, only a few, now in situated in the heart of the city, really. But it was their country property. They could take their pony and trap and get down to the brewery no time. And it was where they wanted to entertain, where they celebrated a quiet life, bringing up their sons.
So it was sold to the state, was it?
It was. We made an agreement.
Okay. And no regrets about that?
Absolutely not. The state is looking after it beautifully. It's got my late father's library, the Benjamin Guinness Library, in its heart.
Now, one of the things I couldn't find in the book, and maybe I missed it, is the World Guinness Book of Records, different type of this achievement, that achievement. How did that all come about?
Amazing that was, because it was a group of Guinness Ireland directors. They had a great, lovely day out in the countryside. They're in a pub, and one of them knew the extraordinary McWhirter twins, Norris and Ross. And one of them asked the question, they asked themselves the question, what was the fastest flying game bird in these parts? And the McWhirters answered that question. The wager was won by someone or other, I don't know whom, and the Guinness Book of Records was born.
Now, the book is being launched on Thursday. Tell us about the launch. And it coincides, because tonight you're going back to London and coming back here then later in the week for this Netflix series.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, the Netflix, I don't know anything more than anyone else. So on the edge of my seat do I perch. And the book is coming through. It'll be hopefully available by the end of this week. So I wanted to really tell the personal lives of the family, having access to family papers.
But it also dissects and sort of cross-sects Irish life. The famine, independence, the war of independence and so on. The book does give an insight to other things that were going on in a contemporary way.
I had the joy and the benefit of Antonia Hart. She was the most wonderful Dublin Irish historian and writer. And Antonia steered me through and put into the perspective the lives of my forebears, into the context of Dublin and area. Of course, it became a kind of international phenomenon, but obviously we're talking about the earlier days, the building of the canals, the building of the railways, and the access to the marketplace.
And the lockout.
The lockout, yes.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, only a small number of Guinness's workers were interested in taking any days off work. Luckily enough, the forebears were looking after the workforce exceptionally well given the circumstances. And indeed, I think it was a worry, of course. General disruption is always a trouble, I guess, for any employer. And but it didn't, it was not disruptive to the brewery in as much as many, many other businesses and many, many other families, frankly.
And today, so it went through after the flotation, it went to Grand Met, was it? And then it became Diageo today, and is one of the greatest consumer beverage brands in the world.
Exceptionally proud, amazingly. In the UK, almost one in five pints is a pint brewed in Dublin, and it's got a Guinness, either it's a 0.0 or it's a proper strength pint.
So if you're interested in drinking Guinness and would like to know the history, I really would recommend this book by Arthur Edward Guinness, Ned to his friends, Guinness: A Family Succession. It's both in hardback and paperback and is available in all good bookshops. Thank you, Lord Ivy, for joining us, and we wish you well with the book, and we really are honoured that you came in today. All right.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.